be seated. The story is told about President Franklin D. Roosevelt, of how one day he got tired of smiling his big smile and saying the same old things at all those White House receptions. So one evening, he decided to find out if anyone was actually listening to him, anyone actually paying attention and listening to what he was saying. So as he stood there in that receiving line, extending his hand to shake the hands and welcome those of his guests, he would flash that big smile, and then he would say, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." Now, people would automatically simply respond with comments like, "How lovely," or "Just keep up the good work." No one was listening. That is, except for one foreign diplomat. After the president said, "I murdered my grandmother this morning," the diplomat leaned in and responded softly, "I'm sure she had it coming." Listening is a unique and acquired skill, isn't it? For some reason, the human race seems to be more apt to talk or dwell on what we have to say rather than listening to what is being said. It seems that what we have to say is more important than what is being said by someone else. So listen, if you will, for a moment to some old proverbs and sayings about listening. First one, when you talk, you repeat what you already know. When you listen, you often learn something. Or a second one, an old Greek proverb, we have two ears and one mouth that we may listen more and talk less. The third one, some people think they have an open mind when it is really their mouth. And finally, from the book of Proverbs, if one gives an answer before he listens, it is his folly and shame. Are you listening? There on that Mount of Transfiguration, it would appear that Peter was doing more talking than listening. Verse 3. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it's good that we're here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Peter was talking. And he often had a hard time keeping silent. He always had something to say. Perhaps you know someone like that, or perhaps you are that someone. Now, to be sure, Peter does have some profound things to say from time to time. But at this point, and in this place, it doesn't all seem to fit. Instead of just listening in awe and wonder like the other two disciples, Peter starts talking. "Lord, it's good that we're here. If you wish, I'll make you three tents. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Perhaps it's a bit humorous if you think about it. The grandeur and glory of Jesus, no longer able to be contained, is now shining through for all to see, at least all gathered there. And there with him is Elijah and Moses, having come from the splendor and dwelling of heaven. And Peter somehow thinks they need some tents to dwell in. I suppose we can't fault him, but sometimes we just need to keep our mouths shut and listen to what's going on in front of us. When Jesus is talking, we need to listen. Now, in Peter's case, there on that mountain, there appeared with him two great icons of the Old Testament. On one side is Moses. He's the great lawgiver and the deliverer of God's people from slavery. He carried the two stone tablets of the Ten Commandments. He parted the Red Sea, and he led God's people towards the Promised Land. The other side, there is Elijah, the great Old Testament prophet. He defeated 450 false prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. He remained faithful in the face of great persecution, and then he was taken to heaven by a great fiery whirlwind. Now, we aren't told how Peter knows who they are. And since there is no Bible picture directory that we know of or that we've recovered, we can assume that somehow he knew their identity by divine intervention. But the scripture does say that Elijah was taken up bodily into heaven. So it would only seem logical that he would appear with a physical form. However, Moses, we are told, was buried by God himself. So the question perhaps then for us is, well, did God take his body into heaven just before he buried him? Well, we don't know. We aren't told. But the important part here for us to note is that the bodily presence of Moses and Elijah, there with Jesus, point to the fulfillment of God's promise that was given through them so long ago and now being accomplished through the bodily presence of his Son, Jesus Christ. You see, their bodies are a reminder to us of how God created our bodies, how he made them distinct, unique, male and female. And in this chaotic world that we live in, it's a reminder for us to listen to God's word and his order of creation. But even more, their bodies are a reminder that the precious bodies of our loved ones who have died in the Lord will one day be made whole again. The resurrection of the body is very real. In fact, that was part of what Moses and Elijah were talking about with Jesus on that mountain. Had Peter stopped to listen, perhaps he'd been able to take part of that joy a little bit more in hearing what they were saying. But he was talking at a time when he should have been listening. Perhaps you know what that's like. Wives and husbands, you've never had that experience, right? Been talking when you should have been listening. Children and parents, you've never had that experience, right? Talking when you should have been listening. Co-workers, friends, and neighbors, we've never had that experience. Been talking when we should have been listening. When Jesus speaks, it's good for us to listen. When the Lord speaks, it's important for us to listen. But Peter misses it because he is talking. It'd be like someone telling you all that they know about songbirds while you're in the forest trying to listen to those songbirds. It'd be like someone telling you all about the sunsets and the glory of sunsets while you're trying to watch and enjoy the sunset. It'd be like someone telling you all about Mozart and how amazing Mozart is while you're trying to listen to Mozart. Like Peter, they would all been talking when they should be listening, speaking when they should be hearing, yapping when they should be silent. And it took the voice of the Heavenly Father to help Peter understand. Did you catch what happened? Verse 5. Peter was still speaking. You know that. Peter was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." The voice of the Father comes and says, "Hey, listen to Jesus." But look, I've picked on Peter long enough. These words are meant for us just the same. Too often we're talking about ourselves rather than listening to Jesus. Too often you and I are talking about what we want rather than listening to what Jesus wants for us. But sin does that. It plugs your ears and it hardens your heart. It misleads you into mountains of arrogance, or it crushes you under a mountain of guilt or shame. Of course, such mountains are difficult to overcome. Unless, that is, Jesus happens to be on that mountain with you. On that Mount of Transfiguration, a voice from the cloud blares out, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Whether you are standing atop a mountain of arrogance and idolatry or buried beneath a mountain of hurt and anger, the Father calls out, listen to Jesus. Stop talking and hear the word of the Lord, because it speaks hope into your life and salvation into your soul. So listen. Listen as it guides you through life's challenges and directs you through life's heartaches. But you might say, well, how can I do that when I hurt? How can I do that when I'm afraid? How can I do that when I'm angry? That's what we say in the midst of life's pain and strife. And sometimes, at times like these, we'd much rather speak than listen. And to be sure, sometimes we need to speak. Sometimes we have to speak to get it off our chest. But right now I'm talking about listening. Listening to Jesus. Because be assured, he still speaks to you today. He speaks through the very word of God, the word that we heard read earlier in the service, the word that we can return to at any time. Jesus speaks through his word loud and clear. Are you listening? Through that word, he calls you to follow him. In fact, he calls you to go down that Mount of Transfiguration and follow him with the other disciples, and then follow him up another mountain. Because on that mountain, too, he'll be transformed. But rather than appearing with divine radiance and unlimited power, his appearance would become disfigured and marred. The Mount of Calvary, his form became so gruesome that the scriptures say he was one from whom men hid their faces. Listen. Listen to Jesus as he's nailed to that cross. Listen as he groans in pain. Listen to Jesus as he takes your sin onto himself, your hurt into himself, and your sorrow upon himself. Listen as he gives expression to your voice when he yells out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Listen as he says, Father, forgive them. Listen as he says, it is finished. And then listen as that stone is rolled away from the tomb on Easter morning. Listen as Jesus walks out of the tomb as the resurrection and the life. Listen as he comes to you and says, I love you. I baptized you. I redeemed you. I saved you. You are precious to me. Are you listening? Listen to Jesus. In his name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds. Keep them strong in that faith of our Savior Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.